Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. Your host, Mr. Jono Petrohilos, currently generates over $1 million a year selling his online courses. And now he teaches you how to do the same. Along with listening to our podcast, make sure to join the Course Creator Community Facebook group. It's one of the largest and most engaged Facebook groups in the space. You'll find the link in the show notes. Anyway, let's get to today's show.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. Now, I usually say that about every guest, I'll be honest, but this person is an actual rock star. Like, he's one person that I've been following for a long time now, and I consider him one of the leaders in the space. I'm sure everyone in the space considers him a leader. A little bit about this person. He was the co-founder of the Content Marketing Institute. He's the CEO at Tilt, which turns content creators into content entrepreneurs. He's the co-founder at CEX, the Creator Economy Expo, which we'll speak about today. He's the author of the popular book, Content Inc. He's a popular speaker. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only Mr. Joe Paluzzi. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. And the only reason that you're saying that I'm a rock star is because I've been around more longer than most. I've been in this industry for well over 20 years now. So that's, you know, you stick around long enough, you know
you're gonna hit a winner. So, sooner or later, right?
It's a marathon, not a sprint. That's how you win this game.
There we go. Joe, I like to start these podcasts off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up.
This is a quote. I found this on the back of a sugar packet when I was about 6 years old. And it says, if you've tried something and failed, you are vastly better off than if you had tried nothing and succeeded. And I love that because there are a lot of smart people out there. There's a lot of people with ideas, but it's the ones that actually take the step and take the action that make change happen. And I've always remembered that. And I always thought, you know what, you know, even if I fail, even if it doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to, or the way I want it to, I've got to actually make the decision and create some kind of action. And I failed a lot over my career, but you know, you don't have to win every battle. And so I love that quote. And I think about it all the time.
Love it. I haven't heard that one, but there's a few similar I like that I'd like to share with you. And did you say you heard that when you were six?
Yeah, actually, my parents ran a restaurant. And so when I was 5, 6 years old, I used to run around the restaurant, and I would used to play with all the sugar and sweetener packets. And for whatever reason, at that time, there were quotes on the back of all these sugar packets. And that was the one I took home and I kept, and I typed it out with my computer and put it on the wall. And I still remember it today.
That's I wish I heard that quote when I was six. And in saying that, so that was just what, 10, 15 years ago, you heard that quote?
Geez. I had hair back then, but I know podcast listeners can't see this, but yes, it's been a long journey, but there you go.
Well, I was reading, one of my favorite books is Think and Grow Rich. And I was reading
Napoleon Hill.
Yeah. I was reading it this morning, and I like it because there's so many little bits of gold in it, you know? And one of the quotes, I can't remember exactly. So Napoleon Hill's obviously not listening, so it doesn't matter too much if I butcher it, but it was something along the lines of the person that takes no chance or no risks ends up just with the leftovers that nobody else wanted. And I'm like, that is a good way to look at it there. And then another one of my favorite quotes, I'm not sure who said this, probably Napoleon Hill as well, was something along the lines of, I never lose, I either win or I learn. And that was similar to when I think you had your quote there. That was one that really had a great impact for me, because kind of like, great, I'll do something. Mm-hmm. If I hit it out of the park, yeah, it was a success. It's great. If I did it, no dramas. Let me just tweak it and then do it a little bit different next time. And now it worked better this time. Mm-hmm. So it's a win either way.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Napoleon Hill. That's probably the first book that I read that got me into the business world. I think I read it when I was about 18 years old. By the way, very chauvinistic book. But, you know, it was written, I think, in 1937, 1939, something like that.
Yeah.
But I read that book and I created my goal setting habit from that specific book. So I there's a lot that I owe to Napoleon Hill, because Napoleon was all about writing down your goals and setting goals and reviewing those goals on a regular basis. And I'm a big believer in that. And it's worked out very well for me. There's a lot of people that just don't do that. First of all, they don't set goals. Second of all, they don't write down their goals. And then third, they don't review their goals. You have to do all those things, I think, to be successful.
Love it. And it's like, It's such a, and I, the other thing I like, it's good marketing, Napoleon Hill. You know, I bought it because of the title. I'm like, ooh, all I got to do is think and I'll be rich, you know? And I read the book and I'm like, hey, there's a little bit more to it than that.
Yes, exactly. You wish it was that easy, right? Like, is this a mutual fund do I have to buy? Do I have to buy some crypto? Like, how does this work?
But in saying that, like, it's one of those things where even just those three principles, I feel if you just did those three principles wherever you are in life, hey, you may not be the next multimillionaire, but you're going to be more successful than what you are now in whatever your goal is, just by doing those three things there. And I think, Joe, that's probably a good segue. What I'd like to do today is just kind of hear your story. I've been following you for a while. I know a little bit about your story. But for people that haven't heard of you or haven't heard of you yet, I'd love just to hear your story and just, you know, inspiration. Sure. But also I'd recommend everyone listening to this to go and follow Joe, see what he does. He's got a conference coming up in May, I believe, which he'll speak about. But Joe, I just want to hand it over to you here. Start where you want to start, you know, and spend the next kind of 15, 20, 25 minutes, you know. How did you get to the position you're in now?
Yeah, I mean, totally blessed. And I've been in this content marketing industry, if you will, since 2000, before it was even called content marketing. I started using the term in 2001 when nobody was using that term.
Here we go.
I really felt it was going to be something. And I was lucky enough between 2000 and 2007 to work on behalf of large companies and help them with their content marketing initiatives, which at the time were mostly print magazines. So we would do custom print magazines for Autodesk or for Microsoft and or Agilent or those types of companies. But I always had an itch to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to start a company, but I didn't know when. And I was like, what's, you know, I need the perfect idea. It needs to be the perfect time. And of course, as you know, there's no perfect idea. There's no perfect time. You just have to take the plunge. And finally, I said, okay, I'm gonna leave. And I set the date. You know, it was the end of March of 2007. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to start a company. I did that. That company became Content Marketing Institute. And we became sort of the educational site, media site for marketing professionals around this practice of content marketing. We were blessed in a lot of ways because that was right after the recession and this whole new thing, you know, social media, just, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all these companies were born, and we could create all this content. And there were businesses out there that said, how do we do this? Nobody knew how to do it. It's almost like how crypto is today, right? Everybody's like, how do we do it? How to make it happen? Well, we were there at the dawn of Web 2, and we created Content Marketing World, our large event. And my wife and I own that company, and we were lucky enough to have a successful exit in 2016. I stayed on with CMI until 2017. I took a sabbatical year in 18, which was one of the greatest years of my life. I highly recommend if you could take a sabbatical, like a full year off, do it. It was great. In 2019 and 20, I wrote a mystery novel called The Will to Die. I said, I was done with business. I was through with teaching marketing professionals. I said, I wanted to be a novelist. And then when you know it, COVID-19 hit. So get this, party for my novel. So my book kickoff party was March 8th, 2020.
No.
And so, you know, the timing. Next week, the entire world shut down and I didn't know what to do. I was going to just start writing another novel. And then I started to get a bunch of emails and direct messages from friends who were marketers and content creators. And they were sending me notes like, Joe, hey, you wrote this book in 2015, Content Inc. Is it still valid? Does the model still work? And I was like, wow, that's weird. And then I checked my podcast, Content Inc., which I killed in 2017. And I checked and the podcast downloads were up. And I said, that's weird. Wow. This shouldn't happen. And I checked with McGraw-Hill, my publisher for the book. And I said, are book sales up? Said, this is an old book, 2015. They said, yeah, book sales are up. Are you doing promotions around it? I'm like, no. I said, this is strange. So we knew that content creators were looking for a business model. And I said, maybe there's something more to it. So I hung up my novelist hat and I said, let's get back into this. So I started focusing on, instead of marketing professionals, content creation for creators, bloggers, podcasters, as you're going to talk about, course creators, YouTubers, Instagram stars, whatever, and help. And what I wanted to do was help them build a business, like a real business out of content. And so I got into social tokens in March of 2021, launched Tiltcoin. We launched the Tilt which is a newsletter for content creators, teaching them the business of content. That was in April of 21. Relaunched Content Inc. the next month. So we got the new book out there, and then we launched the event, Creator Economy Expo. That'll be in May of this year in Phoenix. And so basically I'm all the way down the rabbit hole again, back into business and just trying to help what I believe is the fastest growing business on the face of the earth, which is content creation. But as you know, there's so many content creators that have an idea, but they have to build an audience first. You have to build an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you. And there are different ways to do that. And I believe there's a model to doing that. And so, you know, here we are talking about it, and I'm trying to get out there talking to as many people as possible, because I love the, I mean, if you could be a content creator full-time, be what we call a content entrepreneur, I think it's the greatest business that's ever been. You can live your own life. You can, you, whatever hours you want to go by, it's wonderful. Whatever you want to sell, there's many different things that you can drive revenue with in this type of model. And so I'm excited about the future of the world, if we've got a lot of people out there following their passions or following their expertise to try to build audiences and then monetizing those audiences.
Love it. Well, let's dive into a few of those. Let's even start with like the basis there, Joe. You've mentioned a lot of the times content marketing, content creators. Let's even break it down for some of the listeners. What is, and you can do this in whatever way you want, but in your opinion, what is content marketing? Is it social media marketing? Is it different to social media marketing? Can it be both? What's, in your take, what's content marketing?
So first of all, content marketing, take out the tools. So take out the technology. We're just talking about, okay, we want to send valuable, relevant, compelling content to a target audience consistently over a long period of time. And you want to see a behavior change in some way. This is why it's marketing. Marketing is all about a behavior change. So instead of interrupting my customers with an advertising on somebody else's platform, I'm going to say, I'm going to be the content. I'm going to deliver that. So if we were all starting fresh today from day one, nobody would be advertising. Everyone would say, well, why don't we just create our own audience and build our own trusted relationships and do it that way? So that's content marketing. And you have a lot of companies that are, that have a product to sell or a service to sell. And they say, okay, I want to sell this product and service. And so to do that, I'm going to build an audience. And if that audience comes to trust us, maybe they'll end up buying our product and service. So that's ends up being content marketing. Content creation or content entrepreneurship is a little bit different, because generally you build the audience first. You don't have a product yet. And this is the best way to do it. And I know a lot of people listening to this probably already have a product, which is fine. Yep. But if you're going to start fresh, you want to start with first, okay, who's my target audience? You know, what's their pain points? What keeps them up at night? What's my expertise? What's that differentiation area that I can communicate over anything else? And then we can get into the tools. Then we can get into the platform. So you want to pick, you know, pick a platform, pick something you want to get into, and then you'll build your audience around that. So is social media part of that? Sure. Is search engine optimization part of it? You want to get found in Google or your search engine? Sure, that is. But the basis is you have to have an audience for this to work. And you're going to deliver something to that audience that creates an amazing experience. And because of that amazing experience, they will hopefully trust you more. And because they trust you more, they're going to buy something from you. Whatever that is. Could be an online course, could be advertising or sponsor, could be paid subscription, could be going to your event, could be a product or service, whatever the case is.
Let's take a quick break.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Yes, love it. And I love how you mentioned it can be a better way to create that audience first, because I feel it's easier to sell, but also you can target that thing better, right? It's kind of like if you don't have the audience, how well do you know that audience? But if you've already got that audience, you're probably getting questions, DMs, emails. Yep. You're like, all right, cool. I'm getting this stuff over and over again. I can create a product around that. So I love that. And let's just go a bit deeper. So what you're essentially saying here, Joe, is it can be anything. It can be a blog. It can be a YouTube channel. It can be a podcast. These can all be forms of content marketing. Is that right?
That's right. So let's just say that you found your sweet spot, which is the intersection between your expertise and your audience's pain point. And then the next step is what we call a content tilt. This is your area of differentiation that you can break through all that clutter. So you have to, this is a strat, you're building a strategy. You're not creating content yet. The third step is building a base. That base can be Facebook group. It could be Instagram. It could be TikTok. It could be a podcast, an email newsletter, an event series, a webinar. Could be all those things that you're building an audience. And where a lot of content creators go wrong is they want to do all the things at this point. Mm-hmm. I got to be everywhere my customers are at. And you know what? Whoever came up with that, they're full of it.
Yeah.
Because you become jack of all trades. You understand all those channels, but you become master of none.
Yeah.
And you have to be remarkable in one thing to build an audience. And if you spread your resources around too quickly, you can't be amazing. You can't be remarkable in one of those things. So you can experiment, but you always want to have somebody choose one. So is the blog your home base? Is it a podcast? Are you going to build that audience on Instagram or TikTok or Twitch or whatever it is? That's all fine. And there's different things that you have to do with each one of those, but you have to choose one and become great at it. And it generally takes about 9 to 12 months or so of consistent delivery on one of those platforms to build what we call a minimum viable audience, or an audience that's large enough that you can sell something.
Now, I just want to take a minute and let everyone know, if you're a course creator, you've already got a course and it's not quite selling, or if you're still in the process of putting your course together, at the Course Creator Community, we actually have a VIP group coaching program. It's the best program of its kind and the most affordable as well. So if you'd like some extra help and guidance in either putting your course together or selling your online course, I recommend joining the Course Creator Community VIP program. I'll put the links down in the show notes. I like how you mentioned focus on the one platform there. Me personally, I'm a Facebook group guy. That's my kind of zone of genius there. I do the other stuff because why not? But like, if I have to focus on one, it's a Facebook group. And also I think once you've mastered one, then you can start to expand a lot easier on the other ones, right? And the way I kind of look at it is, let's say you were learning a new language. What languages do you speak, Joe?
Only English and very little Italian. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, and very little at that.
Very little. Yeah, you're right. Hey, you know, we're Americans. We just struggle throughout the entire day with any language we have.
Same as Australians, right? My family's from Greece. I don't speak a word from it, you know? But let's say, you know, you're going to learn a new language, Joe.
Yeah.
Like, would it be easier if you're like, all right, Joe, you got, you know, 9 months to learn Italian? Or if I said, right, Joe, you got 9 months and you got to learn Italian, Greek, and German, like, you're going to learn none of anything. It's going to be more confusing than anything, right? That's kind of how I look at that there. So that's a good point there. And I love how you mentioned the time, because it's like, it takes time, that kind of stuff. It's not like, all right, I'll write a blog and now I've just got all thousands of people going to it. I've got a YouTube channel and I've got thousands of people going to it. So love how you mentioned that. Couple questions around this. Let me think of how to ask it and answer it the best way you can. Is there any way, like, let's say someone's heard that, and they're like, all right, cool, I'm going to start a blog. You know, I'm going to write a blog and I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to do it for 9 months, no matter what. Is there a point where you're like, you know what, this isn't working, I'm going to pull the pin and change it around? Do you have any tips there? Is it just like, I'm going to go all in for 9 months and see what happens at the end of it?
If you go all in on everything you can do, yes, you might get to a point where you're pretty deflated. What happens is that somebody will, let's say blog, for example, and you're doing 9 months of blogging. That doesn't mean that you're just blogging. You have to be marketing that blog at the same time. And that's where, if you want to increase the timetable, you have to do that through promotion and marketing. So if I'm a new content creator, you might say, oh, well, okay, you're going to spend 100% of your time on content creation. No, that's not true. You spend about 25 to 30% of your time on content creation. And the other 60%, 10% is just for the business stuff. And 60% is promoting that. Mm-hmm. So you want to have relationships with influencers, wherever you can work out as many type of partnerships as you can. You might even use paid promotion to get your blog or podcast or whatever out there. So a lot of people forget to do those things. And you say, oh, 9 to 12 months, nothing's happening. And I'll be like, Well, how are you marketing that? Marketing? I thought I could just create the content. No, you can't. It goes, so that's why it's content marketing. You're actually marketing this stuff as long. And that's where a lot of big businesses go wrong too, because they think that if I put the podcast out there, I put the blog out there, or I put my stuff on Facebook, as you know, with a Facebook group, it's very tough to get found organically in Facebook. You have to be very smart about it. So I would say the whole way through, and so this is just a good tip for anything and any kind of business. You want to set up as many listening posts as you can. And what I mean by that is you're going to be listening on Twitter, listening in your Facebook group. Hopefully you're getting emails from your subscribers. You're asking for, in your email newsletters, you're asking for opinions. You're doing polls. You want to get as much data as you can so that you know you're headed in the right spot. And then while you're doing that, you want to make sure that you're reporting on the analytics you should be reporting on. So are you following your subscribers? Are your subscribers going up? If they went down, why did they go down? You know, you got a number of subscribers in one area because you talked about this topic. That might have been an insight. My friend Jay Baer, who's a prolific marketer, he was big into email marketing, and he did one post on social media and it took off. And he said, there might be something there. He did another post on social media that took off again. And he said, that's some really good indicators. I think I'm going to start talking about social media more. So he moved from email marketing to social media, and his whole business took off. So those are the types of things that we've got to be listening to, because what's going wrong? It could be the content. It could be the topic. It could be you're targeting the wrong audience. It could be you're not niche enough with your audience target. A lot of things that are happening. It could be you're not marketing it enough. So you want to make sure you set these things every day, every week, and you're tracking them, so that if you get to that 9 months, you're not just saying, oh, it's not working, because I'm going to come back at you and say, why? What are you tracking? What are you trying to do? Who's your audience? What's your mission statement and all those things? And you've got to be working on those things every day.
Love that. That's such good advice. I'll share some real life experience for me with that. When I first started, I used to be in fitness education was my major thing. Had a Facebook group, and we'll get like no interaction in there. You know, I'd post YouTube videos on there. You know, and now knowing what I know about social media, that's like the worst thing you can do on Facebook. You know, just post a link to a YouTube video on there.
Exactly.
And that's a good way to look at it. Because if I was just posting that YouTube video on there, after 9 months, I would have been like, this social media thing doesn't work. But I was able to kind of, well, why isn't this working? Okay, cool. What happens if I, instead of putting a YouTube video, I just put it natively? Oh, okay. This is a little bit better. Okay, now what happens if I do it as a live video and not an upload? Oh, now this is a little bit better. Okay, let me change the content. If I post these boxing type workouts, these are more popular than just the normal workouts. Okay, let me do more of these boxing workouts. And it kind of got to the point where on a very short sort of time period, I went from, you know, making posts and getting no interaction and likes and comments and sales to doing a 5-minute boxing video and getting hundreds of likes and comments and sales just from slightly learning. So love that there. Joe, that's great information about content there. I want to hear a little bit more about CEX, the Creator Economy Expo. I'm a huge conference junkie. I like to go to them all over the world. This is a new one. I can't make it this year, but I'm hoping you do it next year.
We plan on doing it ongoing. I mean, the one thing, I'm an event person. I mean, when we created, I was before the show, we were talking about Content Marketing World Sydney. I've launched a number of events. Content Marketing World is probably the biggest one. We got to about 4,000 people from, I think we had like 50 countries represented
was that the biggest marketing event in America?
Not the biggest marketing event, biggest content marketing event, Marketing World. There's you could consider South by Southwest. There's lots of different marketing events that are bigger, but just from content marketing, that was the largest one. But from an event standpoint, there's a big differentiator in physical events right now. And obviously we're going through COVID-19. So there's all kinds of issues, but everyone's doing virtual events. Everyone's doing everything online. And when everyone goes, you know, everyone zigs, it's time to zag. Maybe there's an opportunity. So right now, if I'm looking at opportunities, I'm saying, okay, there's an opportunity in-person events. And there's also an opportunity in, God forbid, print. And yes, there is, because nobody's there.
Yeah.
So when your competition isn't there, there's a little bit of an advantage, but there's lots of events for content creators in the United States right now and worldwide, but there's not a lot of them that tell them, here's how the business of content works.
Yeah.
And think of you as an entrepreneur, as a business owner first, and then a content creator. Because if you come into it just as a for content creation, you still got to run a business. You're doing two things at the same time. I'm running just like everything else, right? You're running a business and you're doing content creation. Well, you've got to, there's certain things you can do in the business that'll make that content creation work better. And we're like, okay, let's do an event. So we said the first year, it's May 2nd to 4th in Phoenix. We're going to do a limited event. We're only going to do 500 people this year for obvious reasons. Hopefully someday when we're through this pandemic, we'll be able to do more. But we really felt that there was an opportunity to get people together. And a lot of people don't know this too about events. The number one reason that people go to events is networking.
Yeah.
It's not for education. You can get education in a lot of places, but
yeah,
it's very hard, that human to human contact. And we're like, how can we do it in a safe manner? So we're like, okay, Arizona, we can have a lot of things outside. So we're thinking about all that. So we've got something like 40 plus sessions all on, you know, from audience building, revenue generation, to content operations, to even into Web3. So I'm excited about it. We'll see how it goes. So far, everybody's pretty psyched about going to the event this year. And I didn't think I was going to start another event, but here we are. I'm in the event business again. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's so many good points there. I'll summarize my take of that for the listeners. I'm a huge events guy myself for that exact same reason. It's like the info is the same, like virtually and face-to-face, the info is the same.
Yep.
But I will never pick a virtual event over a face-to-face one, unless it's like, okay, I'm in Australia and it's over there. Okay, sure. Maybe, right? But even then, you know, I usually travel to the US a couple times a year, not so much for the info, but just to get it, just to network with different people. It's so valuable. And I think it's, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's kind of like, it's almost like an unfair advantage where it's like, yeah, I can't think of the exact word I'm looking for, but it's like, that unfair
advantage. I think it is. No, competitive advantage. I think you're right. I mean, not only just creating events, but I speak, you know, I've spoken all over the world. And I think that has been an advantage to me, to meet people from different countries in person and to be able to bring these connections together. And it's amazing. Over the last 20 years, I've worked with some of the same people over and over again, but I never would have had the opportunity had I not met them. Now, you could make the case that you could have done that virtually. It's just not the same, in my opinion, than meeting somebody. Like, you and I, we're having a great relationship. We can call each other up now. But when you and I meet in person someday, that's going to change everything. Yeah. It's going to change our entire relationship. And I don't think people put enough credence into that fact. And we're like, oh, yeah, we can be virtual now. And everybody doesn't have to be in the office. But the serendipity that happens when you're in an in-person event, you just can't get online. And that's what some people want to have that. And so we want to offer that to content creators.
100%. And there's a couple ways I look at that, right? It's like, because you can do that online stuff anyway, kind of thing. It's like, okay, you can network online. That's fine. You can. But if you network online and you meet that person in person as well, then it's an even stronger connection there. And there's also something about like the higher barrier of entry kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, anyone can network online, which means anyone can do it, right? But if you actually go to the effort to meet that person face to face, it's that higher barrier of entry, which makes it that more of a connection. So I love that there. And I love how you mentioned that the conference focuses mainly on the business side of things, right? There's obviously some content creation side of things in there as well, I'm guessing, but it's not so much about, okay, go here and here's how you write better blogs. It's more about here's how you do the business side of things as well. Is that right?
We have a lot on strategy. We're talking a lot on business model, and we're talking about a lot on operations. So yeah, do we have to talk about some of these legal issues with Web3? Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. It's important. I don't want you to go launching any NFT programs unless you know the regulations behind it. So there's things like that you have to focus on. And content creation businesses are different. Just like if you were in the logistics industry or if you're in the restaurant industry, every industry has its own business aspect to it. And I don't want to, I'm not putting down other events, but when I go see some of these other influencer type events and it's all about, hey, getting big. And we want to be the next Mr. Beast or PewDiePie or Kim Kardashian or whatever. I'm like, it's a little bit unrealistic. Great. If you can get to that, you know, 1% on 1%, that's awesome. But most of us, we want to be financially independent. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to get there and there's a process to get there. And that's what we want to teach.
Love it. Well, hey, Joe, there's a few questions I want to finish up with. But just before I do that, give it a bit of a plug. You know, if someone wants to go to the event, where do they go?
Oh, yeah. We'd love to have you. It's CEX.events. That's CEX.events. You can get all the information. You can sign up there. Tickets are still available. We're an early bird right now. So, and I'll just throw this out there. I'm not supposed to. I'm going to throw this out there. If you want to go, because I know a lot of your listeners are overseas, whatever, it's a big commitment. Use my last name as the coupon code and you'll get a very special discount. P-U-L-I-Z-Z-I. So if you want to go to CEX.events. Put in P-U-L-I-Z-Z-I in the coupon code and you'll be shocked at the discount that you get. I probably just got in trouble for saying that, but that's okay. We're all friends. I want to see you there before we sell out. So
you might have just sold me in there. I'm like, oh, this sounds juicy. I'm liking this podcast.
Well, here's the thing.
I've never been to Arizona.
You know this. I go to a lot of events. You go to a lot of events. Travel is expensive.
Yeah.
Like travel is the biggest cost. It's not the cost of the ticket. So we want to bring down to the cost of the ticket as reasonable as possible. So if that helps somebody, fantastic.
Okay. And then the Tilt newsletter, Joe, should we subscribe to that, the listeners?
So if content creation is your bit, if you want to learn how to build audiences and you want to understand this whole business of content thing, yeah, go to thetilt.com. It's free subscription. You get two email newsletters a week. It comes on Tuesday. I don't know, in Australia, it's a little bit different. It comes on Tuesday morning and Friday morning.
It'll probably come
out
like 3 a.m.
I don't know what time I don't know what time you're going to get it in Australia, but you're going to get it. And then also, if you are interested at all in Web3 and social tokens and those types of things, we walk you through how to do that because every subscriber gets free Tilt coin and we have our own cryptocurrency. So we try to teach people about that as well. Because again, that's another business model for content creators. So we have one and we're teaching people how to use that as well. So go to thetilt.com and check it out. And if you don't like it, unsubscribe. But if you do like it, you can sign up. You can get some free Tilt coin that's worth real paper dollars, and then you can find out for yourself. But we're a learning community and we're all trying to learn together.
Beautiful. And for the listeners, I'll put all those links in the show notes as well. Now, Joe, there's a few questions I usually like to finish up with. The first one is around mentors. So you're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there in the marketing world, in the content world. I'm curious to hear who your biggest mentors have been. If you could answer this in a few different ways, if you could give us a paid mentor, to someone that you've paid money to, you know, do their course or for them to coach you, someone that you haven't paid money to, but maybe they're a friend of yours or you follow them on social media, and a book that either you read and changed your life the most, or you recommend every content creator should read. So mentors, paid, unpaid, and book.
So first of all, I have to mention my grandfather, Leo Groff, was my first mentor. He was a funeral director. Okay. And so I probably wanted to become an entrepreneur because of him and the impact that he made as an entrepreneur. I followed him around everywhere. So absolutely love that. The people that I probably the number one person and I actually email with Seth on occasion, but I don't know if he knows who I am, but Seth Godin, I read the Bootstrapper's Bible, I think back in 1999 or something. I don't know when he wrote it, something around there. And it made a huge impact on me because I had no money at the time when I was launching a business. So Seth Godin was really important from that standpoint. There's a book that I would want to recommend. And this made a deep impact on me, but it's not a business book. This is Robert Heinlein and it's in the book's called Strange in a Strange Land. It is a science fiction book. Now, if you don't like science fiction, you might not like this. If you like science fiction, you're going to absolutely love it. But what I learned, and you'll get to the points that of the teaching in here, but I'm a big person about focus and focusing on one thing and doing that one thing really well. And this book teaches you that. And I read this book and I didn't know I was going to get a life lesson out of it. So that was kind of a really important thing for me out of it. And then the music of Billy Joel, I have to throw that out because when I was growing up, I listened to Billy Joel all the time. And when I was down and when I needed a pick me up, there was always a Billy Joel song that could get me through. So I don't know if that really answers your question. I had a lot of mentors in a lot of different ways. And I think that's the thing. I never had a formal paid mentor. But I think what's important is when you find somebody that is really affecting your life in a positive way, you spend as much time with that person as you can, as long as you don't annoy them. So I just, like my grandfather, I wanted to soak up that information like a sponge. And when he knew that I was trying to do that, he would start inviting me to lunch, and we became really, really good friends in the process.
Love it. Well, it was definitely a different answer. Most people are like, oh, it's Russell Brunson, you know, or yeah, it's exactly. Tony Robbins, you know. So we got Billy Joel, we got your grandfather. And what was that sci-fi book? What was the name
of it? Oh, yeah. So, the author is Robert Heinlein, H-E-I-N-L-E-I-N. The book is called Stranger in a Strange Land. It is a sci-fi book. I believe it was written in the 40s or 50s, probably almost after Napoleon Hill's book that we were talking about. But it is still, if you look at like top science fiction books of all time, it's on that list. It's up with Animal Farm and a number of other ones that were written back then. But it is still probably to this day still my favorite book of all time. And I read it every year. Read it absolutely every year. So if you don't like, but the problem is if you don't like science fiction, it's pretty way out there. But I recommend it for the focus part of it.
I'm going to at least check it out. I'll put it on my Amazon list now. Okay, next question, Joe. This is what I ask every guest on there. I'm not sure your exact situation, but most people listening to this are going to be a course creator, right? So I always ask the guests, you know, if they have a course, what platform do they host their course on, or you know, what platform do they recommend? Sure. Do you have online courses?
We do. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. What's so we. We launched our business in April of 2021, the new business, and we launched our course in December, our Content Entrepreneurship 101 course, and we used LearnDash. Was ours, and it, of course, totally integrated with WordPress, and we're very, very happy with it.
There we go. Yes, that's so. Most people listening to this are more a third party person. You know, they're a Kajabi,
a platform.
Yeah. But if anyone does use WordPress,
if you wanted to do so, here, yeah, I guess that's the thing. Lots of great course creation, third-party platforms. That's fine. But if you wanted to integrate it with your site, which is what we want to do, and we wanted to integrate all our payment processes that we already had, we went with LearnDash, and it's seamless with WordPress, and we're a big WordPress shop. So,
question with this, getting a bit off topic, but I'll ask anyway. Let's say someone's not very tech savvy. Would you recommend LearnDash, or would you say, no, just go with a third party?
If you don't have a good WordPress person, go with a third party.
Yeah.
We have an amazing WordPress person that I've worked with for 15 years, and I trust him implicitly with everything. So if you don't have that, I would, and there's, by the way, there's nothing wrong with going with a platform. There's all kinds of great platforms. Yeah. And the thing is, you don't ever want the technology to stop you from doing what you're doing. So if you're stuck and saying, oh my God, I need to have this consultant and this tech person and whatever, oh no, just pick it off the shelf. You're fine.
Yeah. And even I'll tell you a quick story there, Joe. One of the best courses I ever purchased was a course from Digital Marketer, right? And this is going back years now. It was a Google Drive link or a Dropbox link, I think it was.
Oh my gosh.
I bought it, but it was great. You know, it was like, oh, here we go. Folder one, let me open it, watch a video. That's great. Folder two. And I paid thousands of dollars for that. So I think that speaks to like, don't let the tech get in the way, right?
No, I mean, it's funny because one of the people that came to mind for mentors was Brian Tracy. And this audience doesn't even remember Brian Tracy. When I used to be in sales and I used to drive, I had a cassette player in my car and I used to listen to Brian Tracy cassettes.
Love it.
So, I mean, it's, you know, the tech changes. Yeah. Don't let the tech stop you.
I'm, by the way, I'm a huge Brian Tracy fan. Some of his, you've obviously read his books as well.
Yes, I have. Absolutely. Yeah. He's fantastic. And what's sad is a lot of people today, a lot of the younger generation doesn't realize how amazing Brian Tracy was and still is. Unbelievable.
I'll tell you a quick story there and then I'll leave you to it because I want to be sensitive of your time. So when I used to run a fitness boot camp, and it sounds silly saying it now, but it makes sense in at the time, right? There were different packages. You could either buy, you know, $40 a week and you'd get 3 sessions, or you'd pay $50 a week and you'd get 6 sessions, right? For the 12 weeks. Yep. And I could never sell the more expensive one, right? I'd always sell the $40 one. I could just never make the sale, you know? Then I read one of Brian Tracy's books and he speaks about the story where he was selling suits. I'm not sure if you remember this one.
I don't remember this one. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there was like, you know, he was selling suits at a store and there was a salesperson that just always smoked him. I was always the best salesperson. He goes to the guy, how do you make so many sales? How can I watch what you do? And essentially what the guy was doing is he's like, look, this is simply what I do. Someone comes in. The first thing I do is I show them the most expensive suit. Either they buy that suit then and then, and I've made the sale, or they say, oh, it's a bit expensive. You know, if you've got anything more affordable, great. Then I just show them next one down, next one, next one down. And then once I've showed them the next one down, it looks cheaper anyway, because they've just seen the more expensive one.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll try that out. Tried that. And then the next day I made like three sales on the, like I'd never made one in my life. And I just made three with that one principle. And I think that's what I got hooked on in. But the whole book just had heaps of them in there.
That's such a good one. Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. The choice issue, the one example of where you go into, this is I forgot the presenter, but you go into a Chinese restaurant and you have the menu, there's 1,000 items, but what you don't realize is the specials of the day, 99% of the people pick off of the 5 specials of the day because they want choice, but they don't really want that much choice. They want it really defined. So give me the options before me, but really give me a couple of options and I'll choose from those. It's really amazing.
Love that. Well, Joe, it was awesome to chat to you. That's pretty much all I wanted to get through today. Is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
No, the only thing that I would say is, you know, we talked about it's a marathon, not a sprint before, but if you're doing online course creation and you're trying to build an audience, first of all, I believe you have to build an audience if you really want to be successful with your online courses.
Yeah.
And it does take time. So yes, do all the things that we were talking about, but it took me 22 months with Content Marketing Institute until I really felt like I had something. And I almost gave up many times before then. Thank goodness I didn't, because I don't know where I would be today. So sometimes you have to set it up. So if you have to make sure that you minimize your expenses and make some tough decisions until you get to that point, absolutely do that. But don't get discouraged. It does take time, just like building any business.
Mm-hmm.
You're an entrepreneur. It does not happen overnight. You look at any business and somebody's an entrepreneur, it does not take, you generally take less than a year. It generally takes about 2 to 3 years until you really feel like you're doing something. So keep the faith. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time, Joe.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Course Creator Community Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort, and we'll catch you in the next episode.